If you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 5, we were reminded that we have been justified through faith, and therefore have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have standing, we have position, we are in relationship with Him. Therefore, we can have confidence on the basis of His grace, on the basis of what Jesus has done. We can have confidence of God's love toward us and His continued forgiveness and cleansing. That is really good news. But remember, the chapter divisions were introduced later. Paul continues his argument by warning us against what some might slide into in light of God's grace. Romans chapter 6. This is God's word. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, or God forbid. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. What shall we say then? In light of God's grace, in light of God's mercy, in light of the fact that we're not justified by works, we are justified by God's grace. It's not on the basis of our performance. It's on the basis of what Jesus did. On the basis of that, knowing that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! No way! No way! I've shared before that some years ago, I stupidly, in a hurry, chopping kindling, cut the ends off these two fingers. I went to Blount Memorial Hospital emergency room. This one, there wasn't enough to reattach. This one, they reattached. I mean, they stitched the end of my finger back on. That was not any fun. It was fascinating, but it was not any fun. And let's just say after they stitched it up, it healed by God's grace. I mean, it was the whole end, like the most of the fingernail and everything, reattached. And I've still got a fingernail. The old part that was cracked, well, it wasn't cracked off. It was chopped off. The old part, you know, fell away eventually as the new part that was growing out pushed it on out. But the nail bed, by God's grace, is okay. And I've even got a little bit of sensation in the fingertip there. It's quite remarkable. So, now that I know they can do that at Blount Memorial Hospital, from time to time I cut off other body parts and go back over and have them stitch them on. You think? Of course not. That would be crazy. That would be insane behavior. Why would I want to do something that results in pain for no benefit? That is very costly for no benefit. Why would I want to do such a thing? Paul says, do you understand when you sin, what you get as a benefit from that is shame and death? Why would you want to do that anymore? I want to avoid that. I want to live for Jesus. Not so that I can go to heaven, but because I'm going to heaven. Now, I am not a dancer. Okay? I know you're relieved. But, I have to listen to him sing from time to time. Thank God he doesn't get up there and dance. I want you to watch this next move. I will never be on Dancing with the Stars because I wasn't even a B actor and because I would never want to be on a show like that. I'm not a dancer. But let me tell you something. If I was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, I would practice a lot. Okay? I would practice a lot. And if I thought that I was going to have to spend forever in a giant ballroom dancing, I'd want to practice now. Well, let's just wait and practice there. You'll have forever. No. I want to get good at it now. And if I thought that I'm going to spend eternity doing the will of God, which leads to joy and peace and righteousness, I want to get started now. I want to learn all I can now about how to do what pleases God. I don't want to wait and show up saying, well, I sure am glad to be saved. But, you know, I thought while I was still on earth, I'd do all I could to kind of do the other stuff, you know. What insanity. That would be absolutely insane. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, in doing the things we used to do when we were slaves to unrighteousness? We didn't have a choice back then. Oh, I believe in free will. Really? I believe in the bondage of the will. I believe that people do stuff they know they shouldn't do and that they don't even want to do and they can't figure out why they did it. And the answer is because they're spiritually dead and they are slaves to sin. And then they get saved. And then Jesus gives them the capacity for the first time in their lives to do what pleases God. Now, I don't have to do that stuff. Sin shall not be my master anymore. I am no longer a slave to sin. Now, I am a child of God. I not only have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to me so that my standing before God is one of righteousness in Jesus Christ, but Jesus, through the power of the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, is now living His life in me, through me, and changing me from the inside out. I have not already obtained all this or already been made perfect. But I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm forgetting what's behind and I'm straining toward what's ahead because I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Amen? That's where I'm headed. So, Pastor Wood, are you saying that since you've been born again, you haven't sinned anymore? Oh, goodness, no, I'm not saying that at all. I thought I just clarified that by quoting from Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'm not saying I've already been made perfect. What I'm saying is I now have nobody but myself to blame when I mess up because I realize I don't have to do that anymore. I still mess up sometimes, but it's not because I didn't have a choice. It's not because I'm a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm now a child of God with the freedom to do the right thing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I can do the right thing by God's grace. I can do the right thing. Well, now, given a choice between you can cut off the end of your fingers, if you like, or you can hit that piece of wood right there in your hand and turn it into kindling. I think I'd rather hit the wood instead of Mr. Wood. Right? I don't want to chop up Jim Wood for kindling. I want to chop up an old piece of heart pine or an old piece of oak's too hard, an old piece of poplar maybe. You know, I want to chop up something that deserves to be kindling. And I may deserve to be kindling, but I don't really want to chop up me. I choose now to obey God by His grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have that capacity. You see, the devil wants you to believe that you can't. That just continuing in sin is inevitable. That you're just stuck in it. And people often quote the next chapter, Romans chapter 7, to try and make that argument. But folks, Paul didn't give us Romans chapter 7 until after we'd gotten through Romans chapter 6. Because if you read Romans 7 out of context, without Romans 6 and without Romans 8, you will improperly interpret Romans chapter 7. But if you read Romans 6, 7, and 8, then you understand that by God's grace, having been justified through faith, we not only have peace now with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but we now have the capacity to do the right thing. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. No way. We died, past tense. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? All right, here's the question. Well, when did I die to sin? At the cross. At the cross. That's when. You see, when we are baptized, what we're saying is, I believe what Jesus did, He did for me. He took my place. The death He died was my death. The punishment that He bore, that was my punishment. And when Jesus came back to life, when He was raised to life, that was my resurrection. What He did for me. So at the cross, that was my death. And I am to consider myself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, the nature of faith. If my faith is based just on wishful thinking, it is flaky and borderline psychotic, sometimes not even borderline, just psychotic. crazy. Okay? I've many times mocked the old pop song, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it night and day, or day and night, or something. Thinks about it way too much anyway. But I believe I can. If you believe you can you fly? No. I mean, even if you do slow-mo video of Michael Jordan way up in the air with the ball in his hand, and oh, you get inspired. Let me tell you, you know what happened to Michael Jordan? He came back down. Okay? They don't show that in the clips. They just show him up in the air. That's not flying. That's jumping higher than anybody else. Okay? Some of you may be old enough to remember Spud Webb. He could jump. He had, wow, did he have the capacity to get air. He was way up there. Little bitty guy. High jumper. Like a Katie did. Just boom. Amazing. Pastor Wood is strange today. No, here's what I want you to understand. You can believe you can fly, but it won't make you fly. It'll just make you stupid. But if God says something, then you can do it. If God says, come to Peter, who's in the boat, then he can walk on the water to Jesus. I didn't think it was possible for a person to do that. Well, it's only possible if God says do it. The capacity to do these things is directly related to obedience to God's word. If God says do it, you can do it. And so when we're talking about obedience to God's word, then it's not impossible anymore. Because when God says, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in all that I've commanded you, and it will go well with you, he's actually telling us how he wants us to live. And now in the new covenant, because of what Jesus has done, God lives his life through us, and we can consider ourselves as having died to sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It's a picture of our union with him in baptism. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Check out Galatians 2:20. You see, this is what baptism is a picture of. Now, some of you may come from traditions where they don't have very good cameras. It's not a very good picture, okay? Because they just sprinkle a little water on the head or whatever. And some of people who are watching this may say, I resent that. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to poke a finger in your eye. I mean to ask you to turn your head and look at the scriptures, see what it says here about what baptism is. I don't want to poke a finger in your eye. I just want you to look at the text. Just look at the text. It says, buried with Christ in baptism. It doesn't say, get a little shower. Buried with Christ in baptism. That's the way the Jews do it. They immerse people. That's the way the Greeks do it. They immerse people. Because they know what Greek means. They know the language. When I have a problem in Greek, I ask my son. He knows what the language says. But do you know what? I have an authority that I consider even more reliable. It is my friend Ignatius Maimaris. And as good as my son is at Greek, he's not as good as Ignatius Maimaris. And the reason for that is Ignatius Maimaris not only lives in Greece, he is Greek. Got it? It's his mother tongue. He grew up talking, thinking, dreaming in Greek. And he not only knows modern Greek, he knows ancient classical Greek, and he knows Koine Greek, and he really knows Greek. And that's why he's a Baptist. I'm just telling you, go by the book, see what it says, do what it says. Pastor, what are you saying, that all the people who are not Baptist are wrong? Yes. But only when it comes to baptism. They could be perfectly right about lots of other things. I have more in common with lots of non-Baptists than I do with lots of Baptists. Because some people get baptism right and get just about everything else wrong. So, you know. But go to the text, see what it says, and do what it says. Got it? If we've been united with him like this in his death, we'll certainly also, you hear this, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves to sin. That's what we were. We were slaves to sin. We really were. How many of you have ever done something that you knew was wrong and that you knew you shouldn't do and you knew you were going to regret, but you went ahead and did it anyway? Can I see your hands? That's anybody who's awake this morning. Okay? We've all done that. We've all been there. We were slaves to sin. How many of you have known an addict that really wanted to change? They wanted to get free. They wanted to quit, but they just couldn't because they were slaves. They were in bondage. Let me tell you something, folks. It is a tragic thing, but it's something all of us should be able to relate to because it's where all of us were. All of us were slaves to sin. All of us. Not, you know, some people were really in bondage. All of us were in bondage. Go back and read Ephesians 2. All of us lived like that. We were by nature creatures of wrath. All of us. We were all in bondage. So don't despise people who are in bondage. Offer them freedom. Offer them hope. Offer them life in Christ Jesus. Don't despise them. Have compassion on them. You've been there whether you were awake enough to know what was going on or not. All of us have been in bondage. Jesus offers freedom, but you only get there via the cross. There is no new life apart from the cross. And the cross means you die. You die to self. And you enter into new life. Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he's got to take up his cross and follow me. You've got to be identified with Jesus and the cross. You can't have it part way. Well, I'd really like to be forgiven, but I'm not just ready to change yet. Well, then you're not ready to get saved. If you still want to hold on to the sin, because, you know, you don't want to go to hell, but you don't want to give up the sin. Remember the story of the little kid who's got his hand in the cookie jar and he can't get it out? Just won't come out. And they try and help him and they put some butter around his wrist. That's what they used to do because they didn't have Vaseline. Put some butter around his wrist to try and lubricate it and help him get it out. And he just can't get it out. It's just stuck in there. And so they finally break the old cookie jar and the little boy, turns out, has the cookie in his hand. That's why he can't get the hand out of the cookie jar. Is he still trying to hold on to the cookie? Now we look at that and we say, what a stupid thing. But do you realize how many of us are in bondage because we won't let go of something that is just keeping us trapped? I mean, how incredibly dumb is that? Maybe you've seen a dog with a stick in his mouth trying to get through a narrow area. And it doesn't fit because he's got this stick poking out of either side of his mouth and he can't get through there. And you see him kind of turn his head, but the stick's too wide and it won't fit through the spot. And you think, how stupid. I see stuff like that and I think, okay, God, I got the message. Because it's a picture of me. I can be just as dumb as that little boy, just as dumb as that dog. Because I'm willing to give up my freedom for some stupid momentary thing. How crazy is that? The Apostle Paul says, don't do it. Don't do it. If we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with Him. For we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. This is a final transaction. The death He died to sin once for all. The life He lives to God. In the same way then, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The old King James says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. You've heard people here in East Tennessee saying, well, I reckon. What does that mean? It means I think so. It means that's the way I view it. You are to view yourself, consider yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's been probably a month since I've used this illustration. I'll use it again. Two gals in Asheville, North Carolina, when I was a teenager, got an invitation to a fancy party where they knew there'd be a lot of drugs and sexual immorality. Instead of just declining, they wrote on the invitation, deceased, and sent it back. Their friends saw them and said, what do you mean deceased? And they said, we're not the same people you knew. We've got a new life. We've died to that. We don't want to do that anymore. Now we have life in Christ Jesus. And they got to witness to their friends. You understand? You're to consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And if you do that, verse 12, then therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin do that. Don't let sin be in charge, telling your body what to do, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin. Rather, offer yourselves to God and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Because you are not under law, but under grace, sin shall not be your master. It's not, I'm saying no to sin and yes to God because I'm still under the law. No. When you were under the law, you were a slave to sin. Because the law couldn't set you free. All it could do was point out how messed up you were. But now that you're not under the law, now you can say no to sin and yes to God. Because instead of being under the law, just trying to follow a bunch of rules that I can never live up to, I never measure up. Now that I'm in Christ Jesus, I have the power to do what He says. Wow. Wow. So then He goes back and kind of repeats the question in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Same answer. Same basic question. Same answer. By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey? Again, I love the way Paul's setting this up. He's basically saying, guys, this is a no-brainer. Don't you know? When you offer yourself as a slave to someone to obey them, then you're a slave to the one you obey. So which is it? Are you going to be a slave to sin? Or are you going to be a slave to God? You have already taken a stand. You've already declared your position. You've already said when you were baptized, when you were buried with Christ in baptism and raised again, you were taking a stand publicly that says, I believe what Jesus did, He did for me. I believe that was my death, and I believe that I now am His. Having done that, you need to consider yourself dead to sin and stop offering your body to sin, to obey its evil desires. Thank God. For over 36 years, my wife and I have had a happy marriage. But it wouldn't have been so happy if my wife had periodically decided that she was interested in other men, oh wow, he's a hunk. Just look at those muscles. Hey, honey, would you like to have a good time? If my wife did that, that would really mess up our relationship, don't you think? Well, why wouldn't she do that? Well, for one thing, because she made a vow before God that forsaking all others, she would keep herself only for me. And I made the same commitment to her. And so, for over 36 years, she's been the only woman for me and I've been the only man for her. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, let me tell you something. When you become a Christian, you're saying, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I'm His to command. And so I will no longer offer my body to sin. I'm just not going to do that. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Paul says, when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Not that you're declared righteous on the basis of your performance, but in other words, if you are a slave to obedience, then you will do the righteous thing. You will do what you're supposed to do. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I know that's a really good thing you're doing there, but why are you doing it? Well, because my boss says so. Okay? Yeah, but I would think you didn't really necessarily want to do that. I just talked about it yesterday. I'll talk about it again today. Hope they don't mind too much. One of the most blessed, joyful, wonderful experiences of my life and Mrs. Wood's life was adopting kids. Okay? I mean, it has been a blessing. It has been a wonderful blessing. I want you to understand something that I've certainly told them and that I've said before. We had no intention of adopting kids. Okay? We were not lonely. We had three kids who gave us plenty of challenges and grew up and left home. Our youngest was in college. And apart from my aged mother and the person who lived in our home to help take care of her, we were empty nesters. We could leave my mom with her caregiver and we could go on the road, and it was sweet. I mean, it was cool. We went to Europe. We did ministry overseas. We did not miss the pitter-patter of little feet around the house. We were not lonely. We were enjoying a second honeymoon. It was just wonderful. So then why'd you adopt? Because our boss told us to. God said so. God said there are three kids that you've never met, whose pictures you've never seen. You have no physical description of what they look like. You do not know about their physiological, psychological, spiritual situation. You just know that I'm telling you, adopt those kids. It's all we needed to know. See, I don't work for me. I work for God. And God said, I've got some kids for you to adopt. I said, okay. Started the process. Lady said, don't get your hopes up. I said, my hopes are not up. I said, if this doesn't work out, I'm okay with that. I just know God told me to do this, and I'm going to try and do it. And let me tell you, all the pieces fell in place, and even though it was a prolonged and expensive process, doing the will of God is the most wonderful, smartest, happiest decision you can possibly make, because some of the greatest blessings in our lives have come through obeying God in that matter. We love those children. Absolutely love. Thank God continually for the privilege of being their parents. You understand me? So Paul says to us here, you're slaves to the one you obey. If you are a slave to God, you're going to do the right thing. And it turns out, and he'll tell us this in Romans chapter 12, God's will for our lives is good and acceptable and perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You understand that? It's perfect. You can't do better than the will of God. So, now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Folks, if we really believe that Jesus Christ died not just so that we could be forgiven, but so that we could be set free from sin, then consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And don't surrender your body to sin anymore. You don't have to do that. You now have the power through the Holy Spirit of God living in you to say no to sin and yes to God. Got it? That's good news. That's not a burden. That's getting free from a burden the devil tried to put on you by lying to you and telling you you don't have a choice. You're just going to keep on sinning. God will keep forgiving you maybe, but you're going to keep on sinning. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And when you do sin, don't say, well, I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. That's a lie. You chose it. And it was the wrong choice. And you need to repent. And you need to ask God not only to forgive you, but to keep reminding you through His Word that you're no longer a slave to sin. You no longer have to obey its evil desires. You're a child of God. So live like it.